So the second model you discuss is the historically determined model, and you gave a couple of subcategories.
Yeah.
Can you introduce us to that?
Yeah, so the second model, what I call the historically determined model, is almost what you might deem to be the opposite of the community determined model. So the community determined model says, well, look, you know which books are canon by the virtue of the community's sort of affirmation of these books. The historically determined model just goes the opposite direction and says, well, no, actually, you don't know which books are canon by virtue of the community receiving these books. In fact, instead, you know which books are canon by virtue of the book's historical background. In other words, where did it come from? Is it historically reliable? Who wrote this book? And so it really goes the opposite of the community-determined model. Community-determined model put everything later in the community's reception. The historically-determined model pushes everything to the front and says, no, it's the origins of these books that tell us whether they're canon. And so for that reason, the historically-determined model is going to be big on historical investigations. No surprise. You'll notice in the community-determined model, there's hardly any historical investigations about the books because they're not interested in the attributes of the books. The attributes of the books don't matter. What matters is the community saying these are the books. Historically determined model says, well, doesn't the historical value of these books matter? Doesn't it matter who wrote them? Doesn't it matter where they came from? So it's almost the opposite issue altogether. Now, under this umbrella of historically determined models, there's a couple examples I give. One is what I call the canon within a canon model. And basically that argues, it comes out of higher critical circles, but there's even sort of historical examples within evangelicalism of this model. And that is basically, okay, we have these 27 books. When we start examining their historical merits, realize some of them are just not historically accurate. There's just problems with them. So we need to figure out how to know which of these books really do give us true things and which of these books don't give us true things. And so we need a way to sift the books so we know what the real canon is in the midst of the larger canon. So that's what they mean by canon within a canon. Now, the problem, of course, that you run into with that model, which is obvious at the outset, is what particular criteria am I using to determine which books count as canon and which books don't, and where did that criteria come from? Well, that's a real thorny problem there, and you end up realizing that people end up choosing the books that fit their worldview from the outset. So if someone goes into the canon and they're interested in feminist theology, lo and behold, only the books in the canon that affirm their feminist theology are canonical. Or whatever it happens to be, there's some sort of grid that people show up with that ends up sifting these books. And the problem is the grid itself isn't from Scripture. So you end up just with a human collection when all the dust settles. The second example of a historically determined model is what we call the criteria of canonicity model. And the criteria of canonicity model is probably what you would consider to be a very popular one among evangelicals. And that says, hey, look, if we're going to know which books are canonical, we're going to set up these criteria of canonicity. These are the things that we're looking for that make a book canonical. It's got to be, a popular book. It's got to be an old book. It's got to be an apostolic book. And then once a book meets those criteria, then we know it's canonical. So there's rigorous historical investigation to make sure it meets those criteria. Now, many things about that model are positive. I think it gets a lot of things right, particularly the idea that we might be looking for and should be looking for books that are apostolic. That when you look at the historical investigations, you want a book that goes back to the apostles. So certainly that's to be affirmed. The core problem with the criteria of canonicity model is the criteria for the criteria. Mm-hmm. And this is something I'm a little surprised is not dealt with more. In other words, when someone says, well, here's the criteria for how we know a book's canonical, we just ask the second question, well, where'd you get those criteria from? How do we know those are the criteria? And the answer is there's really, those things are kind of plucked from various places. Sometimes they're plucked from church history. This is what early Christians did. Sometimes it's plucked from here or there. And the point I make is that the criteria of canonicity model gets many things right, but ultimately you only know what to look for in a book from the scriptures themselves. And here we are back again to a realization you have to use the scriptures to authenticate them.
You talk about the myth of theological neutrality, which Yes. is going to affect the grid that you're using. Can you explain that?
Yeah, so another challenge for the historically determined model, you remember that model is designed to go into these books, do the historical investigations, and sort of prove their validity. One of the problems with that is there is a sense in which some approach this from the idea that you can do neutral historical investigations that will lead you to assured historical results. If you just follow the facts, you'll know whether a book is in or out. Well, the problem with that isn't in the facts. The problem with that is that people are interpreting those facts. And so there is no neutral historical investigation. So if I say, hey, the canon can be determined by historical investigations, and I leave it at that, what happens when the critical scholar comes in and says, well, I've done that historical investigation, and I've concluded these don't belong in the canon. What's our comeback? The only comeback is to say, well, you haven't done your historical investigations through the proper grid. You haven't interpreted the evidence rightly. And once you say that, you have to back up to a larger worldview. And that shows you that your investigations, after all, aren't neutral in the first place. And so my point was simply this. Yes, historical evidence plays an important role, but we can't be naive about the way people interpret that historical evidence through their grid. We have to recognize there is no neutrality when evidence is being interpreted.